You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
How's everybody? Okay? Are we ready? End of Daniel. End of days. Buckle up. Here we go. Daniel chapter 12, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, "Who is above the waters of the stream? How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "Oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from that time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." Well, picture it. You're going to take a life-changing vacation, and you get the car packed, and you've got the snacks, and the kids are excited. You've been building this thing up for a while, and you got your Google Maps all mapped out, and I don't know how it works in your family, but I'm going to beat Google Maps. You know, if the ETA is 1 o'clock, we're getting there at 12:45. Anybody else? Absolutely. And so you jump in the car, and you get about 10 minutes down the road, and it starts to rain. And then you hit your first traffic jam at about an hour mark. You're not even to a Buc-ee's yet along the way. And what is somebody going to ask? Precisely. Are we there yet? The most beloved parent question one could ever have, and we've asked it all ourselves too. Are we there yet? Are we done with this? I thought we were moving on beyond that. I remember one time we took a vacation when I was a kid, and we got in the car, and this thing had gotten built up that we were basically heading to the promised land. And 5 or 10 minutes down the road, it started to rain, and it never stopped raining until the end of the vacation. In the hotel, it looked like something out of a movie called Psycho. And we missed all of our stops that we were supposed to make along the way. We went to every trinket store because there was nothing else to do. And it had the same dang trinkets as the last trinket store. I think it proved the doctrine of purgatory. It was miserable. Are we there yet? That's got to be the question that Daniel is asking by this point. At the end of the book of Daniel, he has had an internship that changed his life, and I'm not sure it was necessarily for the better. He had kings who wanted to kill him. He had people with failed political coups. He survived fiery furnaces and lion's dens, and he had to have been asking the question, "Dear Lord, are we there yet?" Ever had such a moment in your life where you're weary? Where you feel like you've done it again and again and again and again, and the hits keep on coming, and it's not getting any better. Daniel has done the right things in the right way at the right time with the right people, but guess what, friends? He's still 1,600 miles from home. Nothing's changed. And what Daniel gets is this vision from God that it's going to get worse. That sounds terrible to me. There are going to be wars and more wars, and there's going to be people who say idolatrous things against God, and they're going to gain control of all the countries, have all the riches, and annihilate many people. There's going to be anarchy. There's going to be an antichrist. There's going to be anathema. So let's just sing a song and go home. Are you with me? I imagine you've had a season like that or two in your life, haven't you? Where bad goes to worse. And then you get news at a doctor's office where your car breaks down, where the boss calls you in and makes life more difficult, where you're fighting with your family, or the market turns sideways, or the sales aren't what they once were, or I think we've all been there. It's a time of weariness. And that's what's promised to Daniel. We want good news, but friends, I got to tell you, the backdrop to today's scripture is nothing but bad news. And Christians of all sorts and shapes and sizes and scholars and pastors and great lay people have tried to make all kinds of sense of what's going on here. What we can say is that three more kings are going to come, and then that king is going to fall, and then three Greek rulers are going to come, and then there's going to come an even worse ruler that follows after that. Now, historically speaking, this is what comes to pass. King Darius of Persia, who had taken over the Babylonian Empire, he's going to fall to Alexander the Great of the Greek Empire. And not long after that will come another leader, Antiochus Epiphanes, who is going to hate the Jewish people and make their life a living hell. Who wants to sign up for that? And it's going to be weariness. Our tendency, I think, is to make tight connections with passages like these. Whether we want to talk about the end times or biblical prophecy, the first thing we start to do is go, well, who's this? Which political leader? Which religious leader? Is it time? Is the rapture coming? Can we escape this thing? It's natural, isn't it? I mean, when your life is terrible, how do we escape? Let's take a vacation. God, you could show up anytime, put me out of a job. Just like, let's go. Let's get out of this thing. This is horrible. I hate being weary. I don't want to do this anymore. Isn't this finished? It's natural. You know, you look at the world that we live in today, and it'd be natural to think of such a thing. In fact, what we're told in Daniel chapter 12, at verse 1, God says, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who is in charge of your people, and there should be a time of trouble. Now, we use that word pretty loosely in our culture today, trouble, don't we? Like your computer goes down, you call the people at the end of the 800 number, and they say what? Well, did you restart your computer? Nope, never heard of such a thing in my entire life. This is revelatory information you've just given me. Let me try that. Trouble. Trouble's when you go beyond the cell service and you're on the phone and and that's trouble. Right? Trouble is when the market takes a dip and you go, oh, this is not good news, but you know at some point it's going to go back up again. Trouble. The kind of trouble that Daniel has in mind is something deeper. It's not any kind of trouble. It's distress, tragedy, anxiety. It's the kind of stuff that grips you and leaves you weary. Trouble points to Deuteronomy chapter 31, when we're told that God will hide his face from the people of Israel, and there will be a time of destruction that comes upon them. We see trouble in all the ongoing conflicts in this world, don't we? I mean, if you think about, seriously, for the last, almost 90 years, there's been a lot of things going on. World War II, Vietnam, Korea, 9/11, ISIS, genocide in Bosnia and places in Africa. We could talk about Russia, Ukraine. We could talk about Israel and Hezbollah. I mean, we could talk about a lot of different things that are going on. Economic meltdowns, cultural revolutions, sexual revolutions, all kinds of different revolutions. There's all kinds of trouble that's out there. And in the troubled space, we ask the question, what if? What if this doesn't work out? What if there's a meltdown? What if my political candidate doesn't win? What if? What if it doesn't go according to plan? What if it doesn't go in the direction that I want it to? What if my fairy tale doesn't come to pass? And the constant trouble, it leaves us weary and wondering, are we there yet? And let me give you the start of some good news today, because this doesn't sound like good news. God never said your story gets to come to pass. That doesn't sound like good news, Brian, but it is. Because what God did say is my plan and my purpose will come to pass. See, we don't pray, my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that's hard to do. Are you with me? I don't know. My first prayer at the beginning of the day is not usually, hey, God, go do your thing, and yeah, I'm just an open book. Let it all happen. Anybody pray that prayer? Because I want to talk to you afterwards. I have some questions. It's really, really hard to leave yourself in the hands of God and of God's purposes and divine destiny for your life and for this creation, isn't it? But Daniel was great at it to a degree. His name means God is my judge, and in many ways, at the very beginning of his life when he was named, and every kid who was part of the nation of Israel is named with a divine destiny and purpose in mind, there's this sense in which Daniel is completely okay with leaving it up to God. When your life is on the line, can you leave it up to God? Now there's the question, and that's hard, especially when you're weary. I remember when Luke was about 4, it was Lent time, probably Palm Sunday-ish. And by the time you get to Palm Sunday, if you're in ministry, you're usually tired. You're a little weary at that point. Because today starts the church year. It's Labor Day. Everybody starts to fill back in. Now, the game late last night screwed us up a little bit, but that's all good. And so you climb this mountain from the start of Labor Day, and you go through Easter, and we sing, Shine, Jesus, shine, and he's risen from the dead, and all that cool stuff. And by the time you get to Easter Sunday, you're a little tired. By the time you get to Mother's Day, it's like, where's the summer vacation? And there better be sunshine every day. Let me tell you that for free. And so Luke says, after service one day, he says, Daddy, let's go play golf. I'm like, okay, let's go do this. So we get in the car, we go play golf, have a great time, and afterwards he says, Daddy, let's get slushies, because there's nothing like high fructose corn syrup to make people bond. So sure enough, we go find the convenience store and we fill up the slushy cups, and at the time Luke's watching these television shows. One of them is Jake and the Neverland Pirates. Do you know this story, some of you parents and people who are probably 14 or 15? And the story is kind of a takeoff, spinoff on Peter Pan and, you know, good guys, bad guys, pirates, what have you. So we're inside, we got the slushies, we're in line to pay, and sure enough, right in front of us, there is this great, big, huge guy who is definitely part of a biker gang. I mean, he has the legit patch. It's not some road warrior of some guy reliving the glory day. I mean, this dude's legit. And he turns around and looks at us. And he's got a patch on his eye. And Luke goes, Daddy, it's a pirate, just like on Jake. I'm like, ah. And I'm thinking, how many knives does this dude have? And he's going to kill me. And so, you know, I'm trying to use all these pastoral care techniques. We're going to disarm this thing. I'm going to navigate this thing. And I'm like, now, Luke, you know, he probably had an injury and, you know, he wears that to protect him, and Luke gets really upset. I mean, puts the slushy down. He's got red everywhere all over his face, wearing the new white shirt that his mama bought him because daddy kind of blew that. He gets really upset. And then he looks, and he goes, that's okay, Daddy. He's going to get a new eye when Jesus comes back. And the biker kind of turns his head sideways and smiles. And he nods, and he pays, and we lived. Our lives are in God's hands, yes? And we tend to think it's only the big things, right? It's just the big things that our lives are in God's hands. No, 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 no. It's the little things, too. It's the convenience store moments that could have become really big. Our lives are in God's hands. All of it, from beginning to end, through the good, through the bad, through the times that are joy-filled and the times that are weary. And that's so hard for us today. It's why people don't take the scriptures to be authoritative, because they're at odds with culture. And then I might have a disagreement with somebody I love and care about, or when I go to work and my values that are different from the company's bottom line, well, that puts me in conflict. What do I do about that? It's why others have a Sunday way of life and an every other day of life. Because how will I be able to be friends with some of the people I hang out with? It's why worship attendance has dropped. Because we're cultural Christians. In a world filled with anarchy and anathema and antichrist, it's hard not to put life into your hands. In a world that's tech-filled and you have everything that you could ever possibly need on a little device this big and it's all at your fingertips, it's really hard to think that you're not God and in charge of every single moment of your life. But you're not. What are you going to do when you get weary? The Lord said to Daniel, there's going to be a time of trouble, of anxiety-filled distress that's going to be part of your life. I think that word has come to every single person in this sanctuary, or will at one time or another. And here's the good news part of it. He said, there's going to be a time of trouble. But. It's the most glorious three-letter word in Scripture. But. But your people are going to be delivered. Those whose names are written in the book. And the people who sleep in the dust of the earth, those who are dead, are going to be raised, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. And those who are wise are going to shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But it's a time of trouble, but I want you to know I'm still at work. You're weary, but you're going to be delivered. You're not there yet, but God is right on time. Your dream and fairy tale have come to an end, but here's the good news. God has a better story for you. It's one of the most glorious moments in the entire Old Testament scripture. In fact, N.T. Wright, a biblical scholar and a bishop of Durham at one time, said this is one of the key turning points in the history of Israel's life, that God has decisively said, I am not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. I am the God of resurrection. Friends, is this the God that you believe in the midst of your weariness? Underwhelming. I mean, it's either true or it's not true. Either we do this or we don't do this. Either we hang on to it in the middle of the weariness or we don't. That's what I'm saying. Because the control is merely an illusion, if you haven't figured that out. There's no control. There's just better days and worse days. And in the end, what we desire, what we hope for, what we believe is that there is a God who is mysteriously guiding all things to their ultimate completion, and that's worth believing. Especially a God who can raise from the dead. Now you'd think it'd just turn us on fire, but I think Daniel sat there listening to all this like it was an 11 o'clock service at St. Luke and went, hey, UK won. Daniel, you're going to be delivered. It's weary and it's hard and it's hurtful and it's painful and it stinks, but it's going to work out. But, and Daniel says this, what's going to be the outcome? Like, is it all going to work out? And what does God say? Get walking. Like, go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them and teach them to obey what I've commanded you. And the best part, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I know you're worried about the fairy tale ending, Daniel, but you leave that to me. You know, I think we live in a world that is exactly like Daniel's. Culture is changing and people are spinning, and you're faced with everyday choices. You can relent to the latest rules and power structures, or you can be relentless and know that you will have weary days. And it's going to leave you wondering sometimes, are we there yet? Like, God, are you going to show up? Why aren't you showing up quickly enough? Are you there? Do you hear me? In fact, it would be in later days that Jesus confronted us with this choice to be relentless in a simple verse. He said, "What would it profit a person to gain the whole world but lose their very soul?" There's always a choice. To relent or to be relentless. To pursue the things of God or to pursue the things of this world. That's ultimately the only choice that you have. That's within your control. And you make that choice every day, from the big things to the convenience store kind of moments. And the good news is this: we believe in a God who makes all things new. That's what I learned at the end of that trip that summer. On the last day of the trip, my dad, in a very military-style fashion, said, "Get in the car, we're going." Guys, some of you have had this moment. Sure enough, we got in the car, there was a tornado warning going on, and the skies were dark, and we pulled into a great America. And we sat in a hailstorm for 30 minutes, probably took the finish right off of the car. And then the weary moments were over. And the sun came out, and the road trip was saved. My dad became a Daniel. And you can do the same thing every day in your life. You might be weary. And here's what I want to encourage you with today. God is with you. God will never leave or forsake you. And God will walk with you. Not into necessarily your promises and purposes for your life, but His for you and for this entire creation. So walk. And don't grow weary. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, the God of resurrection, the God who makes things new out of what's old, the God who brings to life that which is death, and God, for those who are weary today, we pray that in these moments of communion, they would come and lay their burdens and struggles and sins at the foot of the cross here at this altar. And God, we pray that you, the God of resurrection, who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." We pray, God, that you would meet them here in this time and in this sanctuary. That you would become Lord and leader in our lives, not just on the great days that are joy-filled, but in the weary seasons of life as well. And we recognize this morning our need to be strengthened for that journey. That's why we come to this table where you feed us. Just like you fed Israel with manna in the wilderness.